Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is the cutting-edge program of news many of you have come to know and trust since 2003. I'm Lou Caverly, and my co-host,
Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly,
and I tonight have a red flag bank closing warning. We're coming to you on November 29th, Wednesday evening, shortwave WWCR's 5.935 megahertz at 7 p.m. That's 5.935 megahertz, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And online at WWCR.com. And once again, that's 5.935 megahertz, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have another new program the next night, Thursday, November 30th. Thursday's program is 1 hour later, 8 p.m. Eastern, on the frequency of 4.840 megahertz. Now for our opening news flash. We may well be going into unprecedented times, times in which we as Christians, the Christian remnant, will need God's miracles and sovereign
Lou,
help.
And Lou, we do need that sovereign help, and we need the listeners' help. We are so grateful to a number of you who have helped us, and right now our biggest need would be for checks or money orders written to Global Star Communications. Again, that's Global Star Communications, and you can send it to Lou, L-O-U, Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. Again, the P.O. Box is 28, and it's Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And we ask for the deepest prayer for the doctor in Pennsylvania. He has been faithfully helping us weekly for several years. He now has COVID. So please do pray for him, and we hope that maybe he can look up the Z protocols. What was the doctor, Lou? Zelenko?
I believe that's
Dr.
right.
Dr. Zelenko, Z-E-L-E-N-K-O. He has passed on, but we think that his protocols may still be available. That may be of some help, and we know that huge doses of vitamin C help a lot. And also pray for Brenda. We keep hearing that she's very, very ill. Keep praying for her healing and for all the members of our radio audience. And please pray for our books, that they will soon be delivered, and that we can let you know how you can get them again. And so, Lou, you've just said that we maybe, you know, do that sentence again, how we need God.
Yes, that's right. We may be going into unprecedented times, times in which we as Christians, the Christian remnant, will need God's miracles and sovereign help more than ever. Be sure, if you didn't hear our program of hope with the miracle of the Flight 93 Bible and Al Caput's life story, part one, be sure to go to our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. Go to the program that aired both Wednesday, November 22nd, and is Thursday, November 23rd.
And yes, part two will be coming around Christmas time. So
yes,
we do hope that you, if you did not hear that program, you will go to those archives, those listening archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com. And again, Lou, tell them the dates they can find. It was the same program repeated this time.
Yes, it was November 22nd or the 23rd, Wednesday or Thursday. Either one is the same program. Now, as an introduction to our news flash, here is some pertinent background information. First, we have trending toward a cashless society. 100 nations now exploring central bank digital currencies. This was from HarbingersDaily.com by Mark Hitchcock. The Bible tells us that when the Antichrist comes in the scene, he's going to gain a foothold of global power. The beginning strategy of his power grab will be to, first, gain control over the world's economy. It's a lot faster and easier to gain economic control with all the means that are available today than it is to achieve military and political power. Once you have that economic control, you control people's lives. And you can then take them over politically and militarily as well. According to Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist will have iron-fisted control over all buying and selling. Bible prophecy teaches for decades is that a cashless society will be required. What we see today developing in our world is a cashless society on steroids. And then we have this headline, the globalist vision, 15-minute prison cities and the end of private property. This is from InfoWars, November 13th, by Brandon Smith. 15-minute cities are a massive prison with no bars, a place where you are conditioned to grow accustomed to artificial limitations on privacy. No civil liberties, no private property, and no work options or mobility. You are tied to the land, and the land is owned by the state or corporation. Historically, it is comparable to the feudal system of medieval Europe. Within these cities, you are a labor mechanism, nothing more. You will never be allowed to own your own property and thus own your own labor. Everything you have is given to you by the state and can be taken away by the state if you defy them. You might be able to leave the village or community you are tied to for a time, but that will change with increasing restrictions on the public's movement according to the dictates of climate ideology. And how will that cashless society on steroids look?
Yes, you know, to bring that hideous new 15-minute city reality into being, Lou, the elite controllers will have to do something else. And we have this headline from the People's Voice, November 10th, 2023. Worldwide digital IDs will soon be mandatory in order to participate in society. With a little help from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation, the United Nations has plans which will enslave every human being on the planet by 2030. And that brings us right to the alert, and we do thank Captain Daryl Eberhardt of Pennsylvania for telling us about the Real BPE Earth Watch on YouTube. And this was November 27th. And here, in a nutshell, we have the information. And first of all, we say that we are not alarmists. We are not saying that you are going to find the banks closed, your bank closed, by the end of this week. No, but there is an alarming trend. And we must wake you up that you can start to pray and prepare, prepare physically and spiritually. So here is the report. From the Real BPE Earth Watch, 60 banks last week had bankrupt branches. PNC, and of course that's the Pittsburgh National Bank. PNC, it's the sixth largest U.S. bank, and it closed hundreds of thousands, and there will be hundreds of thousands of bank employees who will lose their jobs. And I think we're looking here now. He gave a projection at the beginning that this PNC is the sixth largest U.S. bank, and it can involve hundreds of thousands of bank employees who would lose their jobs. ATMs will close, and cards will no doubt be used at first. Now, we're looking at this draconian scenario, if it has happened. And then everything will go biometric. And he asked the question, do you have the extra food you need? And we're asking that question, too. Do you have food and water preparations? So now here is the rundown for the week of November 12th to 18th. Pittsburgh National Bank, PNC, filed for 19 branch closures, 5 in Pennsylvania, 4 in Illinois, 3 in Texas, 2 each in Alabama, in New Jersey, and 1 each in Indiana, Ohio, and Florida. Then we had J.P. Morgan, 18 filings in a week, 3 in Ohio, 2 each in Connecticut, South Carolina, 1 each in 11 states, including New York, Illinois, Florida, and Massachusetts. Then we had Citizens Bank, and it comes in third, I guess, in the largeness of its being. It had 8 filings, 6 in New York, 1 each in Massachusetts, Delaware, Minneapolis. Then we had the U.S. Bank, I believe, the Minneapolis, based U.S. Bank, and it filed for 7 closures, 3 in Tennessee, 1 each in Missouri, Wisconsin, Ohio, in Illinois. Bank of America had 5 closings, and it filed 2 in New York, 1 each in Texas, Massachusetts, and California. Then we had Citibank. Citibank had 2 branch closings. And we had Sterling, Windsor, and Aroostook in L.A. filing. Altogether, banks filed to shut down 64 branches, and that, Lou, was in 1 week.
Yes, that's right.
That is an eye-opener, isn't it?
It is. It doesn't sound so shocking, but we have to keep in mind this may be a trend, because all the banks really have to do is say, okay, we're closing this branch, this branch, this branch, and it's as good as done. So it could happen very quickly if they suddenly decided to do it.
Yes, and you know it's that old story about the boy who cried wolf so many times that the townspeople no longer believed him. You know, you and I, maybe almost 20 years ago, used to hear a large broadcaster, large audience broadcaster, talk about the banks would be closing that weekend, and we smirked because they never did. But we're not in the same time as that was. We have the artificial intelligence monster. And, of course, this commentator at the Real BPE Earth Watch says that whenever this thing materializes, there won't be any person-to-person help. It'll all be centralized artificial intelligence, AI. Now, think what kind of world that will be like when you're in that. There will be no way to personally appeal anything, let alone if you're a Christian, if you're a political dissident. So now this is a further rundown on the stats. 3,000 branches closed last year. And this is the third year that closings exceeded 3,000. The rise of digital banking came during COVID lockdowns. 8 out of 10 Americans began to use online banking. Now, Lou, that's what you said about the trend. You know, it looks harmless, but when the momentum builds, the little pebble is rolling down the hill.
That's just right. And as I said before, they wouldn't hesitate to close every bank in the world if they felt it was to their profit to do so.
Exactly. And we'll get into that a little more. It isn't always to their profit in the small rural areas, and we'll talk about that a little later. Now, back to the report. The Fed. Now, the Fed, remember the creature at Jekyll Island, that interesting book that exposed them, their origins? It was over a holiday that they sneaked through the Federal Reserve Act, wasn't it?
It was. If I'm not mistaken, it may have been the Christmas holiday, in fact.
I think so. And I think, was it 1913? I believe so.
That sounds
it's pretty
familiar.
Far back. So
very
now, guess what, listeners? The Fed got together over Thanksgiving, and they passed a tax exemption for all lending institutions and banks. Now, they didn't give John Q. Public any kind of a rebate on his loan, did they? Lou, I didn't hear anything like that.
Didn't give one to me.
No, and you have many loans. To do this radio work, we've had to have lots of loans. At one time, I think, were we carrying 7 or 8?
Well, possibly. It seemed like it.
And we do thank those of you who have prayed and do not harm your families at this time, but those of you who can tithe or send us money to warn God's remnant. We know you will be blessed if you can help us with cash, with money orders, with checks made out to WWCR. And as we said right now, we need Global Star Communications more. So whatever you can do, send to Luke Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Going digital, you see, rather than expanding physical branch locations, is cost-effective. This is a good cost-saving strategy because digital transactions are so much cheaper. So think about the Fed now passed this tax exemption for all lending institutions and banks. And now this commentator there that we are quoting, he gave a warning about alternative financing to banks, that he's known cases where people went and they hooked up with other kinds of, I guess, free-flowing institutional promissory beings, like there's something called pay now, buy now, pay na- later, excuse me, buy now, pay later. And he said he knew of one case in which making the transfer of the money out of the bank, the man lost $100,000. And so this was undoubtedly to somebody corrupt, and they could not track it. It's gone. So whatever you do, don't do something stupid. Lou and I think, well, actually, we ourselves, after we heard this report, I said, get $650 out of the bank. We didn't have any cash on hand. And you should never be in that situation. You should never be in that situation without any cash. So, you know, you just do things. You buy some groceries. You try to get some things in that you know that you need. So this idea of jumping onto some little fly-by-night company, there's fraud, there's hacking, all of this is getting really bad. And now we've mentioned the PNC, the Pittsburgh National Bank, next year, according to this source, is targeting $725 million in expense cuts. All the surviving bank locations would need, you see, they could cut all the employees. Hundreds of thousands of employees are going to be gone. They just need this central computer, he says, tied in with the Fayette Bank. And I assume that is probably the central banker's location.
I think it must have some connection with the Federal Reserve.
I think so. So PNC said they're going to focus on online banking. Well, we know what that suggests, where their trend is. And by February 16th, new bank closures in 19 of their banks will take effect. So you see, this isn't over here today. The pebble is still rolling. And October 6th, layoffs began. And I believe they're still speaking there of the PNC banking system. And while the war in Israel is going on, according to this commentator, we're being set up. You know, this is nothing new, is it, Lou? These bread and circus events, they're to keep the masses' attention focused away from the draconian losses of freedom that are coming.
Now, I hate to say it, but the great mass of Americans, men and women, by the way, it's not just the men, you know, football games on TV, that's the modern-day circuses, all baseball in the right season. And as long as people have the TV and a meal in front of them, they're pretty happy.
Oh, but you know, the TV is changing, too. You and I have hardly had our set on in the last year. After Trump's gutless farewell, Fox ended. For me, I never turned it on again for the news. But you see, we don't have high-definition TV. And suddenly, we got a notice from DirecTV that we're going to lose all our local channels if we don't let them come and put new equipment in. Well, the only thing we'll really lose probably is some of the nice ice skating, the figure skating contests that we like in the winter. But we looked at each other and we knew with all of these draconian developments with Alexa, with all the other listening things, the microphones, the this, the that, why in the world would we tell them to come in, to put in new equipment just for some high-definition TV? You know, I don't think so. The whatever modicum of privacy is left, we thought, let it go bye-bye, because it wouldn't, at this time, it wouldn't affect any of the other types of channels that we have. Do you see how this thing is marginalizing our freedoms little by little? It's a bulldozer, and it's coming now inside your gate. It used to be out somewhere else in other countries. During COVID, it was in Australia. Oh, yes, let these poor people who were picked up on the bus and taken to the COVID quarantine center, not right. They weren't even tested. That's not going to come to America. Why, no, nothing's going to come to America. And these Christian organizations who say that we must just turn to the Bible and not think about these things, these Christian organizations that say now, yes, there's a big danger with AI, but wouldn't publish our book under their aegis, No, our book that has Karen Kingston's actual patents, the patents, and the story of Biden's office for artificial intelligence. No, these Christian organizations and ministries are only going to go so far. We tiptoe around the coming horrible, gross elephant in the room. But Lou and I are different. We are going to stand up as long as God will keep us well and safe and called to do this. We're going to tell the truth. And if our books never come, then that had to be God's will. And we'll never stop talking about it, will we, Lou?
Never.
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 And one way or another, God is going to use those books. And furthermore, the discount price they gave us has the judgment number in it. So how can that ministry be greatly blessed? We think not. God does not say he likes it if you tell part of the truth, does he?
He certainly doesn't. He wants to spit you out of his mouth if you're lukewarm.
The lukewarm. So we're just saying we're real here. Nobody is financing us. Only God is producing us. And the merciful caring of some of you people. And we know that God will keep us on the air as long as he desires to do it. And so we need not be afraid. And also, we can keep praying for God to hold back the whole system. Now, we have another thing we have to report besides the Fed, November 26th. And this, again, came from this same website, the Real BPE Earthwatch, I guess, on YouTube. The FCC voted in favor of getting total control over digital currency. Now, you can see what that would do. They will have the control, the government. And this is a new set of rules called the Preventing Digital Discrimination Order. And I want to repeat that. The Preventing Digital Discrimination Order. And, of course, it recommends a slew of new browsing restrictions that will, according to the commentator, forever change the way people interact with the online world. And now what this is going to do, this is going to be further censorship. This is going to marginalize Christians and conservatives more. It's actually a 200-page report, this FCC report, and they will enforce violations of, quote, equity. Now, Lou, you and I have been reporting a lot on all of these cases of the binary sex business and the people who go against binary and all of this and all of that. You see, there will be only one transgressive way allowed.
Yes, if you...
LGBTQ.
Yeah, and if you put in the wrong wording, certain words that the AI thinks a discrimination, or...
is primed to call that.
Yeah, yeah. You will be shut off. It'll give you a little message saying, sorry, you can't go here.
Yes, and as we now see discrimination against conservatives, it's going to be a lot worse. Now, the FCC approved this, but listen, listeners, it must still be voted on. Now, of course, rather cynically, this commentator said, with Biden, you know it will pass. No, we don't know it will pass. You listeners have to be alert, and you have to pray, and pray for God to bring down these strongholds. And this right, you see, if it's put into action by the FCC, would have both action and omission, you see. It would cover that. It would regulate if you did something or said something they didn't like, or if you didn't approve of something they wanted. And we say there is always hope with repentance before God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ. There is repentance and hope, and God might hold it back. And the thing that I mentioned before that we had to comment on was that this commenter admitted that in rural areas, banks still have some power. They like the banks with the employees in them. They don't want the impersonal online digital phenomenon. to be in charge. They like the way it all works out with the people around. There's more confidence in the banks. So we say later, keep using cash and keep praying. And so now I think with that, we must get back now to our overall theme before Thanksgiving, where Satan's reprobates run to and fro. And sometimes they are corporate. Big foundations are running to and fro, too. Natural News, October 26, 2023, report, Rockefeller Brothers Fund has provided over $3.4 million to Hamas and other alleged terror groups since 2018. And I have to interject here, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, a place that we love better than anywhere in the world practically is Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia. Lou and I were there on our honeymoon, and we loved it very much. But about 10 years ago, I think during the Obama years, they were holding a conference there. Now think, Colonial Williamsburg, that talks about the revolutionary and the colonial era in America. They were holding a conference with the Muslim Brotherhood there. It was kind of a forum of speakers, and I wrote to them, and I really made a protest. But we see now the roots and inclinations are much deeper than that little seminar. And, of course, Lou and I cannot contribute to them now. We are sorrowful. If we ever see that the new generation of Rockefellers changes things and they get back to some Christian roots and they disavow this kind of thing, then we would gladly love to contribute to Colonial Williamsburg again. So anyway, here is this story. The Rockefeller Brothers Fund, RBF, portrays itself as a philanthropic foundation that seeks to, quote, contribute to a more just, sustainable, and peaceful world, end of quote. But a recent report, and this report was by Laura Harris from Natural News, this report revealed that it has contributed more than $3.4 million to Hamas and other terrorist groups since 2018. Andrew Kerr of the Washington Free Beacon expounded on this matter, naming several groups who benefited from RBF money. One such group is Defense for Children International Palestine, DCI Palestine, an extension of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, PFLP. The group, which employs senior PFLP members, has received $165,000 from the RBF since 2018 to promote flawed research that seeks to delegitimize Israel. Because of this, the Israeli government declared DCI Palestine a terrorist organization in October 2021. Another recipient of Rockefeller's Brothers Fund money is Education for Just Peace in the Middle East, a national organization working toward freedom, justice, and equality. The group, which has received $580,000 in funding since 2018, was later accused of using its charity status to fund Hamas and other Palestinian terrorist organizations. Jewish Voice for Peace has also received $490,000 from the RBF since 2019. Protesters associated with the group reportedly entered a congressional office building to speak out against Israel on October 18th. This resulted in the arrest of roughly 300 demonstrators. Related, around 300 people arrested after Jewish group organizes All In on Capitol Hill calling for a ceasefire.
Aside from the three organizations he mentioned, Kerr said the RBF has given more than $2.2 million to other groups that have either justified pro-Hamas actions or blamed Israel for the October 7th terrorist attack. More than 1,400 were killed in the incident, which involved Hamas operatives paragliding at a music festival. The RBF was established in 1940 by the heirs of financier and philanthropist John D. Rockefeller, Jr., who was the only son of Standard Oil founder John D. Rockefeller, Sr., former Vice President Nelson Rockefeller, and his four brothers, all sons of John, Jr., spearheaded the fund. Kerr noted in his article that the RBF, quote, has been responsive to pressure from left-wing groups to amend its portfolio, unquote. But even before Jerusalem designated it a terrorist organization in 2021, DCI Palestine's terrorist ties had been public knowledge. In 2018, the Jerusalem Post, J-Post, reported that many of the top officials and board members head toes, I believe that should be ties, to the PFLP, which is the U.S. branded a terrorist group. Responding to the J Post report, RBF President Stephen Hines defended DCI Palestine in a letter to the editor. He told the paper's editor that he was, quote, convinced, unquote, none of the group's resources funded terrorist activity.
Interesting report. Is that it, Lou?
That's it for that portion.
Yes. Is that the it for that article?
I think you have a C.
No, I don't think
C.
I do.
Well,
I don't think so. I think that's it. And now
yes, no,
we,
maybe. I'm
we
not
have
sure.
To move on. Now, we're getting some individuals now, those Satan's reprobates running to and fro. The Gateway Pundit by Ben Q, and this was originally in the Western Journal, November 17th. Newsom awarded millions to mosques preaching anti-Semitism, groups allegedly tied to Hamas report. And later, we will get something from the Hal Turner report. We'll have to make sure that we do, because if Hal is correct, there is a plan for a false flag here, right here in the U.S., 15 cities. So, you know, don't think this isn't relevant. Okay, Gavin Newsom is up to his usual tricks. The Washington Free Beacon reported that the California governor has provided funding to mosques that preach anti-Semitism as well as Islamic advocacy groups with alleged ties to Hamas. In January 2022, Newsom's office released $47.5 million to provide, quote, physical security enhancements to nonprofit organizations that are at high risk for violent attacks and hate crimes due to ideology, beliefs, or mission, end of quote. Of that money, $40 million has gone to, quote, mosques whose leaders cheer the annihilation of Jews and Israel, according to the Free Beacon. Despite California having a budget shortfall of $32 billion, Newsom confirmed last month that he would double fund for the program after the Hamas terrorist attacks on Israel that took place on October 7th. The Free Beacon reported that recipients of the funds include the Sajadia Islamic Society, where a preacher this month declared that Allah sent, quote, the rockets from Hamas or Hezbollah to strike Israel and praised Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah.
At another, the Islamic Center of San Gabriel Valley, a preacher expressed support for, quote, the Palestinian brothers and sisters who are fighting Israel, unquote. And a quote goes on to say, shame on you if you label them terrorists, he said. He also denied that Hamas murdered Israeli civilians on October 7th, saying, if you're going to make a claim that Muslims kill innocent children or civilians, you better be able to prove it, unquote. At the Islamic Center of San Diego, which the Free Beacon noted was the home mosque of two 9/11 hijackers, an imam said, quote, resistance against Israel is justified, unquote. Newsom has also funded mosques whose imams have previously called for the destruction of Israel.
And Lou,
yes.
We have to interject that, despite that listener who doesn't like me interrupting you, but let's not forget, we have a map somewhere of all those covert radical Islam camps or installations that are here. Here, I didn't say in nearby Gaza Strip or something. I said here in the U.S., why are these sleeper cells there? Why are they there? So when we hear one of these imams ranting in the mosque and we see that Gavin Newsom is funding him, we'd better take it seriously. This is our own security. We are not Israelites. We are Americans.
That's an excellent point. Because a lot of these imams would not hesitate in the slightest to kill Americans.
Exactly.
Not in the slightest.
Beheading them.
Yes, that's right. Going on, Newsom has also funded mosques whose imams have previously called for the destruction of Israel. Masjid of Riverside, which is affiliated with the Islamic Center of Riverside, received $200,000. Among the worshippers of the mosque was Syed Rizwan Farouk, the perpetrator of the 2015 San Bernardino terror attack that claimed 14 lives. The imam of the Islamic Center of Riverside, Mahmoud Hamoush, is known for his violent anti-Semitic rhetoric. And this is a quote from him. O Allah, liberate the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem and all the Muslim lands from the unjust tyrants and the occupiers, he said in a 2017 sermon, according to the Los Angeles Times. He went on to say, O Allah, destroy them. They are no match for you, O Allah. Disperse them and rend them asunder. Turn them into booty in the hands of the Muslims. Wake up. It is time to be a Muslim, he urged his listeners. Prayer is not the only thing, unquote. At the Islamic Center of Hawthorne, which also received a $200,000 grant, Imam Hamdi Sadek prayed last year, quote, O Allah, purify the Al-Aqsa Mosque from the malevolence of the Jews, unquote. The Free Beacon reported that grants have also been awarded to, quote, several Islamic advocacy groups with alleged links to Hamas, unquote. The Council on American Islamic Relations, which the federal government has labeled a co-conspirator of Hamas, received $135,330 through Newsom's funding program.
Then we have the Gateway Pundit by Jim Hoff, November 17th. Protesters fly Palestinian flag from Tower of Pisa, illegally. Smoke billows from tower. The massive anti-Israel gangs are quickly taking over Europe. Palestinian protesters flew the Palestinian flag from the Leaning Tower of Pisa on Friday. Black smoke also billowed from the tower during the protest. And then we had Radio Genoa saying this November 17th, the Pisa's tower, Italy, no respect for European cultural and historical heritage. Why don't they go to Gaza to protest? Of course, these demonstrations will only increase in frequency and size in the coming years. Italy, like the U.S., is currently being invaded by foreigners, mostly young men from Africa and Europe. 7,000 unvetted Africans arrived on Lampedusa Island in Italy in one day in September, CNN reported. The island, whose population is under 7,000, has long been a first port of call for people crossing from North Africa. It has been a flashpoint in Europe's migration crisis. Mayor Filippo Mannino on Thursday said the migrant crisis had reached a, quote, point of no return. Quote, in the past 48 hours, around 7,000 people have arrived on my island, an island that has always welcomed and saved in its arms, Mannino told Italy's RTL 102.5 radio. Now we have reached a point of no return where the role played by this small rock in the middle of the Mediterranean has been put into crisis by the dramatic nature of this phenomenon. The figure was also confirmed to CNN by the country's interior ministry.
And from the Gateway Pundit, 75% of, quote, innocent Palestinians, unquote, approve of Hamas' October 7th bloodbath. 98% hate the U.S. This is by Richard Abelson, November 18th, 2023. More than three-quarters of Arab Palestinians approve of the barbaric October 2nd Hamas terror attacks, according to the first poll on the subject. 98% said it makes them feel prouder of their identity as Palestinians, JNS reported. 48.2% of respondents in the areas Israel gave up in 1995 for a never-fulfilled promise of land for peace saw Hamas' role as very positive, while 27.8% view Hamas as somewhat positive. Almost 80% regard the role of Hamas' Al-Qassam Brigade's military wing as positive, JNS reported. 59.3% of the Arabs who call themselves Philistine, and that's spelled F-I-L-I-S-T-I-N, after the biblical Philistines, said they supported the attacks extremely, and 15.7% said they somewhat supported the bloody killing spree. Only 12.7% expressed disapproval, with 10.9% saying that they neither supported nor opposed the attack, JNS reported. Three-quarters are so delusional, they expect the Israel-Hamas war to end in a Palestinian victory. After the end of the war, 72% want a government that includes Hamas, with Palestinian Authority Chief Mahmoud Abbas Fatah, which ain't happening. 98% of Palestinians surveyed held negative views of the United States. And then we have this headline that appeared November 14th, 2023. Covert Intel, Operation Catastrophe, 15 U.S. city attack to be blamed on Hamas.
Pay attention to this, listeners.
Yes. Brother Bruce's analysis is that if these 15 cities are attacked and Hamas blamed, quote, this country and the world will change forever. A martial law will probably be put in place in our country immediately. This could bring along a declaration of war against Iran and kick off the ram and he-goat conflict of Daniel chapter 8 and usher in what Daniel 18:17 calls the time of the end.
Now, that's the prophetic application. And now, give us the news report from Hal Turner. Isn't it up there?
See.
The headline?
Well, now, let's see.
Do you have the one there with the 15 cities being the false flag by Hal Turner?
I don't seem to, no.
Oh, well, what was the heading on this one with Brother Bruce's comment?
Covert Intel, Operation Catastrophe, 15 U.S. city attack to be blamed on Hamas.
Oh, and there's nothing more there with it?
No, just a whole bunch of things crossed out.
Oh, okay, you do not see a headline. Someone has it. Perhaps I have it. It's either in tonight's or tomorrow night's. Flip quickly down and see if you see anything with Hal Turner at the top.
I will do that.
Hal Turner,
yes. Nation. Track that down.
I don't have it here.
Okay, I'm thumbing through these things. See what we have here.
If you have anything that says Hal Turner.
Not so far.
All right, we probably will be bringing that up then more to next night.
So, I believe so.
We have to move on because we want to get to some more of the banking information, too. So then we have next leaked docs, and that's short for documents, reveal Hamas-Israel false flag was planned in detail by global elite. This is so important. This is what Lou and I have been discussing, that nothing is as it seems. From that article there, Baxter Dimitri, from the People's Voice, this says, the Israel-Hamas war is an inside job by the globalist elite who, working to ensure the Israeli false flag, will light the fuse to ignite a holy war that will spiral out of control and lay the groundwork for the elite to usher in a one-world government and a one-world religion. And once again, Brother Bruce of American Prophecy comments, whether this is true or not, this is all playing into the hands of the Vatican and the New World Order. To have the Pope come forward as the man of peace and the one to call for all religions to live together under Rome make Jerusalem an international city controlled by the Vatican and the UN, and the creation of a world government to stop all of these wars and financial chaos you see that they caused. So interesting there, okay? Next, Luke.
And now we hear from the People's Voice. Klaus Schwab signs order drafting U.S. men and women to fight for globalists in World War III. This appeared on October 19th, 2023, by Baxter Dimitri. And American men and women are said to be immediately drafted to fight for the globalists in World War III if Klaus Schwab gets his way, after the World Economic Forum leader was heard boasting that he has signed an executive order compelling the Biden administration to supply American bodies for the front lines. Schwab made the remarks at an event in Dubai earlier this week, where he was speaking to 600 so-called experts on the topic of how to rule the world. When Schwab says jump, Biden says how high? Since when did the U.S. have an obligation to fight foreign wars? And make no mistake, the globalists have big plans to reshape the entire world in the next few years. The elite are happy sending your money overseas forever and sending your children overseas to fight their globalist World War III. Are we going to let them? Lord Rothschild admitted his family created Israel as part of the great master plan for World War III. And now their agenda is playing out before our very eyes. The useful idiots on mainstream media were quick to call the attack Israel's 9/11. And they were closer to the truth than they will ever realize. Just like the 9/11 attacks, the government was complicit, and the military was ordered to stand down. Just like 9/11, the globalist elite are now rubbing their hands together at the prospect of launching more forever wars in the Middle East. More devaluation of currencies, more neglect of the people in favor of war, death, and the globalist agenda. At the time of the attack on Israel, security experts were stunned and said the Hamas attack did not make sense and bore all the hallmarks of an inside job. Now we know that the Israeli government did know about the attacks in advance. The Times of Israel, Associated Press, and Al Jazeera are reporting that Egypt warned Israel of a major attack coming from Gaza 10 days before the events on the weekend. But Israeli officials ignored it. And now we know why Israeli forces took 7 agonizing hours to respond to calls for help from terrorized citizens.
Just like those planes that took forever to come up from Virginia on
That's
the day
right.
of September 11th.
Exactly right. Here's Lauren Witzke with more on the stand-down order issued by Netanyahu to the Israeli military. Anybody who is still on the fence about whether the hidden hand of the elite is currently orchestrating world events should take a look at this Economist cover from 11 years ago. The Rothschild-owned Economist magazine, and that's Economist with a capital E, has a history of uncannily predicting the future with their covers. Let's zoom in on the detail at the top of the image. Did they have a time machine? The elite plan the future and adapt to how the public reacts to their plans. Those who know their history understand that the Rothschilds have been trying to claim Palestine sovereignty for centuries. In 1829, they offered the huge fortune of 30 million piastres to the Turkish Sultan. Now they are making their move in the exact manner Albert Pike told us they would in his foundational Illuminati text published way back in 1871. That's right, the events that are playing out before our very eyes have been in the works for centuries. Klaus Schwab wasn't joking when he said he had penetrated the cabinets of Western democracies and appointed his puppets. Biden has fully signed up to the agenda and determined to play his role in the elite's Third World War. Ask yourself, will Biden make the situation even worse when he makes what CNN is even admitting is a high-stakes trip to Israel this week? You can bet your bottom dollar he will. Violence begets more violence. The elite are determined to send humanity on a race to the bottom while they get richer, tighten the noose around humanity's neck, and enact their long-planned agenda for World War III and a one-world government. Are we going to let them?
An amazing report, Lou.
Yes.
And now, do you go to some banking information?
Well,
let's see. Chaos. We have some chaos with mobs looting a FedEx truck coming up. What do you have next?
Well, I had a mysterious force gun. That's about a Chinese weapon.
Yeah, I think let's hold that. We can worry about that a little later.
Then we have something called Death Cross spooks traders, despite stocks soaring on cooling inflation.
All right, go ahead.
And it goes on to say Dow's 50-day average drops below the 200-day line in grim chart pattern that signals a looming crash. An ominous death cross has spooked traders and sparked fears the stock market could be headed for a major drop despite positive movement in the market. The worrying sign, which has appeared before several major crashes, including 2008 and 1929, is generally taken as an indicator the market is heading for a downturn. The last time it appeared was March 2022, when the markets plunged a massive 12% over 6 months.
I was shuffling my paper, so I couldn't pay close attention. Is this a symbol, or what is this cross?
You know something, we're going to have to look into that because it never quite explains what that's all about.
It sort of appears, what, online?
It's called a death cross.
Hmm. Go ahead.
I don't
maybe
know
it'll,
if it's
maybe
made up of numbers.
Maybe it'll explain a little more. Go ahead.
Well, that's it.
Oh, that's
and
it.
And it just says a death cross appeared on Dow Jones Industrial Average on Monday.
Okay, go on to your next one.
Yes, we'll have to look into that, see what that's mm-hmm. all about.
And we want to get as many of these done as we can with the banking.
Right,
and more.
Right. Here's one. Biggest banks leave Americans without money as account shutoffs begin. This is the Epic Economist that appeared on YouTube.com on November 14th, 2023. Banks are closing down personal accounts without any notice, according to a new report released by the New York Times. That comes as the credit crisis continues to worsen and hurt Americans financially. Banks are now trying to reduce the risk of losses and failures, even if that means leaving people without access to their funds. Conditions continue to deteriorate in the financial sector, which is putting many institutions in a tough situation right now. The Times reported that the number of clients getting dumped by their banks is rising dramatically. Experts estimate that thousands of people are losing access to their bank accounts and credit cards every month. Oftentimes, they are restricted from withdrawing their funds for weeks, even months. That is leaving many people scrambling to pay their bills and buy everyday essentials right now. Even though banks do not reveal precise data on how often they are doing this, analysts observed a 50% increase in the number of, quote, suspicious activity reports, unquote, or SARs, which typically lead to them ghosting customers without warning. Analysts tracked a series of real-life examples of customers getting abruptly dropped by their banks and exposed plenty of instances where the decision was not just sudden, but completely unjustified. Delinquent debt in recent years delinquent customers face the highest risk of having their accounts shut down. Americans took on a massive amount of debt in recent years, and as interest rates went up and made loans more expensive, it's getting more difficult to get out of debt. At the same time, it is also getting harder to have access to loans as the banks continue to lighten their lending standards. This is
I think that's tighten, not lighten. They have an error there.
Yes, I think they do.
Because we know the interest rates are extremely up.
Oh, yes, that would make sense.
Like there was a 3.2 interest rate on a loan, I think, just a few years ago, or a mortgage, and now it's sort of like 5 to 7%. So it really has changed.
That's right. Yes, that's just right. And it goes on. This is cutting an important credit line for millions of people struggling at a time when pandemic aid has waned, and inflation is making more people need an additional form of financial support. Officials reveal that not only consumers, but all major sectors of the economy are being impacted by the credit crisis. Banks reported tighter standards for all commercial real estate categories, residential real estate, credit card, auto, and other business loans in October. Their reasons to limit borrowing to businesses at this point in the game include, quote, a less favorable and more uncertain economic outlook, a reduced tolerance for risk, a deterioration in the credit quality of loans, unquote. So far this year, banks experienced $620 billion, with a B, billion dollars in mark-to-market losses on their Treasury bond portfolio. The latest fall in Treasury bond prices will only add more pressure on them. Moreover, U.S. bank stocks have fallen to an all-time low in 2023 compared with the S&P 500 index. With all that said, you can understand why banks are panicking right now. Just a few days ago, another bank failure occurred. The latest bank failure has raised many questions about the Fed's current mantra of high interest rates for longer. It seems to be doing more harm than good to the economy. It's hard to grasp why policymakers are still withdrawing $95 billion a month in market liquidity at a time when the Treasury is having trouble financing itself.
Why, Lou, we must interject. It wasn't hard for Albert Pike to project ahead to have the Third World War, and then we'd have the chaos. It isn't very hard for that Federal Reserve to project ahead their goals for one world government, things that don't make sense to those masses who are sitting there slobbering over their beers, watching the Super Bowl, the halftime thing with the naked women, the Janet Jackson malfunction, all of those things, those people, they're just useless eaters. But no, we're not all useless eaters. No, there are many wonderful Christian families left in America. And we do hope that you will tell others. You know, it's a question of your lives now. Back 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, when Lou and I wrote to ministers in Bedford County, Blair County, Cambria County, Western Pennsylvania, where I came from, I thought surely some of them, they would pay attention when NAFTA, that was going, not a soul, not a response. Then I wrote to several historical journalists, really they were historians who had written books up there in that area, and when I sent them my books, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked. Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails. Never a word back. And now we have our latest book. It won't be published. It'll just be printed. So we'll never have interviews with a big Christian group and then let their listeners hear about the COVID shots being the aborted fetal cell-derived shots, about the little children in Australia herded in to the big stadium in Sydney, and one died. We will never get to have that book reach many people, but God has his ways. God knows. He is letting the sound of our voices here today reach more people. We are growing a little, and please tell others, pray about it, who you should tell, to tell them to hear these warnings, hear these warnings. So today we are thankful to Captain Darrell Everhart for alerting us early this morning so we could work like dogs to get all this information for you. And we're glad we did it, aren't we, Lou?
We're delighted.
Please,
yes.
Pray for Lou's health. He had two visits to the emergency room last week. Pray that he will be completely miraculously healed, and soon, I pray, for Christmas he might be. Tune us in tomorrow night. You will hear again. We have much more to tell you that's very important and significant. Good night for the Divided Kingdom.